Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump has announced changes to the National Environmental Policy Act in order to speed up freeways, power plants, and other infrastructure projects.
For decades, the single biggest obstacle to building a modern transportation system has been the mountains and mountains of bureaucratic red tape in Washington, D.C.
Critics are upset about the easing of a 1970 environmental law, but the president says federal reviewers will make sure that approved infrastructure projects are safe. He says builders should not have to wait years for environmental studies. Mr. Trump also announced at the White House that the U.S. has recently put a big dent in the operations of the MS-13 international gang.
We've just concluded a historic operation leading to the arrest and indictment of dozens of savage MS-13 members and leaders all across the country. So this is something that's taken place over the last few days.
Attorney General William Barr said the prosecutions are part of the government's efforts to dismantle a gang he likened to a death cult. Also known as Mara Salvatrucha, MS-13 is considered one of the top transnational organized crime threats in the United States. Early stage testing showed the first COVID-19 vaccine tested in the U.S. revved up people's immune systems the way scientists had hoped. Vanderbilt University vaccine expert Dr. William Schaffner, who is not involved in the study, says early results from this first COVID-19 vaccine tested in the U.S. are promising.
They're phase one studies, but it's a good first step. It looks as though the vaccine generated a vigorous immune response. We like that. We think that's going to be associated with protection.
It's one of nearly two dozen possible COVID-19 vaccines in various stages of human testing around the world. On Wall Street, the Dow by 227 points, the NASDAQ rose 61. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Who is this prophet to the whole country? Does one man really have the insight to know what's really happening? Get his free book at prophettoamerica.com. Is God's protective hedge around this country really gone? Can we expect worse than the coronavirus? Go to prophettoamerica.com. That's prophettoamerica.com and download the free book, A Fresh Wind. Go to prophettoamerica.com. That's prophettoamerica.com.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
It's 4:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. The Nevada legislature, into day 7 of its special session, had lightweight agendas yesterday, both houses passing a resolution calling on the federal government to provide additional flexible funding for the Silver State to help Nevada manage its fiscal shortfall. A special session was called by Governor Sisolak to address the state's $1.2 billion budget shortfall, which is about 25% of the state's budget. 37 Clark County bars are taking Governor Sisolak to court, looking to reverse his recent directive closing bars to slow the spread of the coronavirus, claiming they have been unfairly singled out. The lawsuit seeks a court order rescinding the governor's directive, which went into effect this past Friday. Bars in 7 Nevada counties with elevated coronavirus rates were closed under that directive. The governor's office declined comment on that lawsuit. The judge who will decide whether the state's unemployment office must pay Nevada's gig workers immediately will at least have the weekend to think things over. Judge Mary Breslow moved the hearing from tomorrow to Monday. Well, so far, the number of confirmed cases of coronavirus statewide stands at 29,619. The statewide death toll is 612.
KCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
As we take a look at the traffic cams right now, we're getting some heavy volumes on the Beltway, 215 west at Green Valley, 215 eastbound at Gibson. Moderate flows as you work your way past the stadium there on Interstate 15 northbound. That is at Tropicana. Kevin Wall is next.
Gather around.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
407 all across the Las Vegas Valley. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Joining us next, I'm so excited, John Zarpolis, the president of Nevada Policy Research Institute, and this special NPRI report brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Also by Nevada Trucking Association and by my buddy Rico Aller at Carson Insulation. This is one of those days, John, where I don't know where to begin. Do you have a place you want to begin? I mean, we got the governor essentially calling out Jesus Jara, accusing him of misrepresenting the truth, which I last time I checked is lying. We got all kinds of stuff.
We got that. We got special session. We've got a lawsuit in Nevada policy filed here at the beginning of the week that maybe your audience hasn't heard about. I mean, I heard a little bit about special session on the news. So let's start there, and then we'll circle back
Okay. You folks are really good. You've got a great legal team that you've assembled, and you every so often will file a court case. What are you going after now?
We are going after the nine legislators who are breaking the Constitution of the state of Nevada. The Constitution literally says the powers of the government of the state of Nevada shall be divided into three separate departments, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And no person charged with the exercise of powers properly belonging to one of these departments shall exercise any functions appertaining to either of the others. In other words, you can only be in the legislature, you can't work for the state because that's the executive, and you can't be a judge at the same time you're doing any of those others. You can only pick one of the three. And we've got nine legislators in this state, two Republicans and seven Democrats, who work for the state or county government, and we believe that they're breaking the law of the land, or the Constitution of our state.
Has this come up?
We filed against them.
Has this come up before? I mean, in my memory, it has.
This has come up before. We filed in the past. Some things have changed in the law. So, first time we filed was against Mo Dennis, and so he then, when we filed, he quit his government job and kept his, I believe it was the Senate seat. So that went away. We filed against Heidi Gansert, but what has changed is who can be the plaintiff. In the past, we had to have a plaintiff that matched the qualifications of the person we were challenging. So in Heidi's case, it had to be someone who had qualifications to be in higher ed because she works for UNR. But then there's something came up with the person, and they asked to withdraw, so the case was withdrawn and never was fully heard. What's changed is the ability for Nevada Policy to now be the plaintiff. We are suing on behalf of the public in Nevada because we represent policy ideas and issues and principles. So we now have that ability. That law changed not too long ago. There was a court ruling that allowed that to happen. It wasn't a legislative change.
Again, John Zarpalis joining us, the president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. What is so incredulous to me is how brazen these members of the legislature. I mean this is pretty clear cut. I mean, you read from the Constitution. I mean, this is not something that's open to interpretation. It's right there in black and white, and yet these nine legislators think the Constitution doesn't count for them.
They just ignore it and go about their business, and then just think of what the reality here. You know, you've got Senator Nicole Cannizzaro, the head of the Senate, the Democrat leader for the Senate. You have Jason Frierson, who leads the Assembly. They both work for Clark County. Are they not going to want to give more money to Clark County? Are they not going to have friends who are nudging them? Are they not going to have relationships that... You know, how are they representing the taxpayer? And where does the person that represents the taxpayer get elected? So it's just a terrible conflict, and the Constitution spelled it out right up front, and they've just ignored it all these years.
John, how long, and you can track this from some of the other litigation that you folks have done, is this going to be a long time in coming that we get some sort of resolution to this?
Yeah, this will be probably a couple of years, realistically, maybe even a little longer. You know, we've had other cases against PERS and that. I mean, those things dragged out 4 or 5 years. You know, this is long. It costs us money. If you'd like to go to npri.org and click on the donate button, we sure could use your help if you think this is a worthwhile effort to, and we really do because we think this is important. So, yes, it's going to be a while till there's resolution here.
And by the way, have you looked at the media just to see if any of these nine will you know pull their head up out of the sand and look around and see how stupid and how immoral these people are? Are they commenting at all? I mean, there's no real comeback to this, is there?
Well, Senator Nicole Cannizzaro, in response to a newspaper asking about this, said that this was just a publicity stunt by Nevada Policy. This is no publicity stunt. This is what we do. We hold them in line. We hold them accountable. You know, it's not a publicity stunt, believe me.
Well,
we're serious about this, and we're going to see it to the bitter end, and are hopeful because it's so clear-cut that we should win, and then they will have to choose between their legislative job or their executive branch job. It's that simple.
I mean, it's incredible, though, that nine members of the legislature just think the Constitution doesn't speak to them. Sorry. It does.
It does.
Let's talk about day eight. We're into day eight of the special session, the 31st special session of the Nevada legislature. And we are 8 days in, and they still don't have a budget bill to fix a $1.2 billion shortfall. What are these people doing up there? Are they having recess all day?
We don't know, and that's a problem. I mean, because no one's allowed in the building because of the pandemic, we don't know what they're doing. They're supposed to meet in front of cameras so that this can be live streamed so people can hear the deliberation. Yesterday, they said they would start at 2, and it was well after 4 before they even started. What they did all day, we don't know. Obviously, they're meeting in closed quarters, having private debates among themselves. NPRI stands for transparency. We want to see the debate. We want to hear what's going on. It's our money. It is our state. It is our economic future that they're dealing with up there, and yet it's all done closed door, and no one knows what's going on. And I guess the second thought is, are they really that disorganized that they hadn't thought about this for the last 3 months and could have gotten some of the ducks in order and figured out what they're doing, and maybe that's a good thing for us. But on the other hand, what? Where's the leadership?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly it. You've got a government, you've got a governor's office that took all $401 million of the rainy day fund. Could have left some of it for 2021. Didn't. Chose not to. This was a policy decision. And now all of a sudden they're $1.2 billion in arrear. And I don't know if you saw the release earlier this week, John, but there was this groveling. I mean, it was just embarrassing for the governor. Good God. I mean, it was the governor groveling with the federal government and authoring a resolution that was sent to Washington that we need more federal dollars, even though we've already got something like $13 billion and nobody knows where the money went.
Yeah, yeah, we did see that. The only one voting against it was Ira Hansen, Republican from up north. So, yeah, that was, and I liked his comment. Ira's comment was that all we're doing is opening the door to bail out states that are even in worse shape if the federal government starts giving money to the states. And he's absolutely right. New York, Illinois, my old home, is so badly run. It would be a crime to the taxpayers of the United States to bail any of those states out. We need to teach responsibility, fiscal responsibility, to our legislators in every state, let alone in Washington. But anyway.
But and the difference is, and this is why it's so dire, and why you have these members of the legislature and the governor crying crocodile tears, because this really is the only last resort there is, other than having garage sales for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
The fact is, the federal government is the only entity of any of these that can simply print more money. Go to the basement, print more money.
Right.
We need
right.
more.
And eventually, you can only print so much, and then you run out of people taking that money any longer. So, speaking of tears, I also have found it really, I don't know what the right word is, state workers testifying. First of all, you're allowed to testify. You can get into the system, but the system is so glitchy that most people are not getting in. Very few taxpayers seem to be getting in. You seem to be getting some government workers in. Don't know why there seems to be a predominance of them. If they're just trying harder, I wish the system operated better, but it's just like every system we've built in government online, it doesn't work well. However, the whining and the crying by the government workers about how they're going to be hurt, what about the 29% of people, working people in this state that are unemployed right now? And what about the people who are having trouble collecting their unemployment, and the people who are independent workers who are still struggling with that system? There's that lawsuit happening, trying to get them paid. And the state workers are whining that they might be furloughed for a half a day or a day a month. I'm sorry. Who are they to be the privileged class that suffers none? The rest of us are suffering. Everyone I know has got something that's more difficult in their life from this. And what? Anyway, so you got me started when you said crocodile tears.
John Zarpolis joining us, and this special Nevada Policy Research Institute report brought to you in part by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop, by Nevada Trucking Association, and by Rico Waller and the good folks at Carson Insulation in Mound House, that big, beautiful blue building in Mound House. Stick around. More to do as we continue with John Zarpolis. We'll tackle some of the other problems and the amazing speech the president gave. It was an anti-Joe Biden rant yesterday, billed as a news conference, but it turned into something different. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
You can listen to the radio again on the weekends. On Saturday, you can enjoy Handle on the Law, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, Real Estate Today, and Las Vegas Rocks with Vegas insider Ron Garrett. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck.
As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Optimized performance and capability and contemporary looks. This perfectly describes the 2020 Range Rover Velar. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi, and with 0% interest financing currently available for up to 72 months on approved credit, now is the right time to own yours. Come see for yourself today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Monica Pappas says the Vegas Chamber made all the difference to the success of her Nevada business, Fingerprinting Express. At the Vegas Chamber, our purpose is to cultivate growth and prosperity in everything we do. This is Mary Beth Seawald, President and CEO of the Vegas Chamber. We know businesses of all sizes rely on us to engage on important issues like education, transportation, and tourism. We also know that Nevada thrives when Nevada businesses thrive. The Vegas brand goes beyond geography. It's a global force that gives us the unique and compelling ability to be bold, vibrant, and fearless on behalf of business in Nevada. We are Vegas, and we are the Chamber. We embrace our distinguished history that has helped shape and serve this community for almost 110 years. Check us out at VegasChamber.com. That's VegasChamber.com or on social at Vegas Chamber.
This message, sponsored by the Vegas Chamber, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
John Zarpalis joining us, the president of NPRI, the president with an amazing speech. I don't know if you saw much of this press conference yesterday, John, but it was vintage Trump. It lasted over an hour and a half. About 10 minutes of it was about China, and the rest of it was going after Joe Biden. Do you think that's going to be the game plan from here on out, essentially differentiating between these two candidates?
My favorite part of the whole thing was that he made the press sit out on the lawn in the sun for an hour and a half, and they looked like they were melting. I think that was my favorite part.
Oh, no, no, no. And everybody thought everybody was holding up their hand to ask a question. This was during the speech part that they had their hand up to shield themselves from the sun. It was priceless.
It was priceless. I really enjoyed that. I think it's one way for him to get an audience and to get his message out. I think that's what he's struggling with all his shutdowns and not being able to have his rallies, et cetera. I feel his pain. We struggle here to get our message out, too. So I think it was a good tactic. We'll see where it goes. In terms of the political end, I don't want to get into campaigns because NPRI is not that, that's not our thing. We're educational, and we're not allowed to keep our tax exempt status if we get into the actual politics of things. So
let me ask you, though,
subject on that.
Let me just ask you. There was a poll in Pennsylvania, and more than half the voters there, Republicans, said they thought there was some sort of secret Trump base that won't tell the truth to pollsters.
Yes.
Will just lie through their teeth up and down.
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that there is
absolutely
an element like that?
I think there's absolutely falsification of people's preferences, that they're lying to pollsters. You know, they've branded Trump supporters as racists, bigots, whatever you want to say, deplorables from the last election. So you do not want to publicly put that out. You don't know if you're going to be punished. There's lots of places in this country where you cannot say that you're a Republican or supporting Donald Trump, and without fear of losing your job, losing your friends, vandalism to your home, that's on the minor level. So back in Illinois, I mean, when I was active with the Republican Party back there, my car was spray painted, my tires flattened, car keyed, because of people knew that I, was openly active as a Republican. That type of intimidation goes on in a lot of states. We don't see it as heavily here. So yes, you're very careful who you say the truth to. So I do believe it is very, very underreported. But I'm also really worried about the problem with the next election cycle, with the election, the legitimacy. Whoever wins, either side is going to claim the other side stole it, and it's illegitimate.
It's going to be ugly.
It's going to be really ugly.
It's going to be very ugly.
It's not going to end on an election night. It's going to be very ugly.
I've got less than 2 minutes, actually, less than 3 minutes. And I've got to ask you, this idea of sending the kids back to school. The president wants butts in the seats, brick-and-mortar schools, online learning doesn't work. What do you think?
Everything I've read that seems to not have bias in it says the kids are safe. And I also know about learning, and learning happens best in a classroom. Kids do not do well with online learning. They don't retain it versus being there hands-on with a teacher, with other children. And then there's the whole socialization issue. Children need to learn how to work with other children, be around them, and become decent people and decent citizens. That happens being with other people. So I wholeheartedly believe we've got to get back to school. They've got to get back there.
Is there any, and you might know, is there any empirical evidence or otherwise to tell us what our kids learned during March and April and May of this year when they were all home, supposedly doing online learning, distance learning?
I have not seen any studies yet. I'm sure that stuff is coming, but the stories are that people realize that it's not happening. Parents realize that their children are falling behind. Parents are worried. We also have the issue that parents need kids to go back to school so they can go back to work.
So if there are any jobs for them to go back to work too.
I'm sorry, Kevin, what did you say?
If there are jobs to go back to, if they're in the bar business in seven counties in Las Vegas, probably not.
Right. Well, most states aren't as shut down as ours at this point. It's just a frightening mess.
And
we'll get through this. This is the most election, the most important election in my lifetime. They've said it every time. This one, I can't imagine this will ever be outdone for importance. It's just, there's so much at stake on so many levels. Please step up, speak up, talk to people quietly, and nudge them to do the right thing.
There you go. There you go. John Zarpolis, always good to have you. Thanks so much, my friend. We'll do it again.
Thank you. Been a fun.
John Zarpolis joining us, brought to you by this Nevada Policy Research Institute.